Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Man, one by one, these things just come to a close. Last night, the NBA. Tonight, the NHL. The Late Night Anchor Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. SiriusXM Channel 159. So I'm just thinking the next major trophy championship, I guess, is now the World Series. Right? We do have the USFL playoffs. Let's not forget about that. We're going to get into that with Rick Saratella, actually. I want to get the point spreads for you. And the USFL playoff picture, dear God. Like, I don't even know. Like, I got to be honest with you. We've got a couple of days before the end of the week. Although, I already know who I like in the USFL. You got to pull the trigger earlier in the week. Then the lines change, too. I like all four games this week. But I look at the, we'll go over the playoff scenarios. There's some very complicated, crazy-ass stuff here, all right? That's what happens when you have a 10-team, an 8-team league and a 10-team, 10-game schedule or whatever the hell it is. you get complication. Everybody is still mathematically alive for everything. Like, every team is alive this week going into the USFL, so everybody's playing for something, so at least it's a clean handicap. But we'll get into that. So, Las Vegas Golden Knights. Pretty crazy, actually. The Knights, like, last night, like, the Nuggets opened up as defending. Like, they opened up as favorites next year. And there'll be teams that'll challenge, but normally the team that wins opens up as the favorite the following year. And Vegas do not get that luxury for whatever reason. Colorado, everybody's got the same order here. Colorado, Toronto, Edmonton, Devils, Vegas, Tampa, all sort of bunched together after the Colorado Avalanche. Jonathan Marchessault wins the Conn Smythe Trophy. This is something that I'm kicking myself for not getting in on. And we didn't get to this with McInnes, but I think he had a piece of this at a pretty nice price, actually. Listen, he was just he was on fire. Right, he scored his last the first seven games. He was flat. He didn't have zero goals. He had 2 points, and then the last 15 games, he just went off. In which 13 goals, 3 game winning goals, 23 points. That's why he ended up getting the Conn Smythe. Although you could have made an argument for a lot of guys, it really was a team and a collective effort. But he did finish with 25 postseason points, and that's pretty lethal when it's all said and done. So congratulations to the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So now the next futures we have to start picking, all right, USFL Championship, Women's World Cup, Wimbledon, Gold Cup. What else am I missing? The Copa. A lot of soccer. But college football is rapidly approaching right now, and so is the National Football League, actually. And CFL football is back, although the CFL season takes forever. There's like 21 weeks, and they play 18 games. So they won't be awarded a Grey Cup anytime soon. But we're going to get into some NFL football, and there's drama in Buffalo already. That's nice. Day one minicamp, Buffalo drama. Remember, the season ended with drama last year in Buffalo when they lost to the Cincinnati Bengals. And we're flatter than a two-day-old Budweiser. And Stephon Diggs was really not happy. Stephon Diggs got in Josh Allen's face. And then Stephon Diggs left after the game without speaking to anybody, including his teammates. Well, he didn't show up today. Let's roll. It's championship week on the Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers. the people that bust them, the champions and everybody else in between. Last night it was the Denver Nuggets. Tonight it's the Las Vegas Golden Knights. The Las Vegas Golden Knights absolutely throttled the Florida Panthers tonight. The game sailed over the number. It just became one of those deals. Like, it must have had to have been a nightmare to be a Florida Panther player. Like, just basically, it was like sitting on a game show set or something of a game show you know you're not going to win. Like, you're sitting there in Las Vegas, and, you know, players have eyes, and they can hear things, right? So you're a Florida Panther player. You're sitting on the bench, and all you see is just everyone decked out in gold, black and gold everywhere, chanting, "We want the cup." You know there's no way in hell you're coming back and winning the game tonight, let alone coming back and winning the series. Your best player couldn't even tie his skates and play. And you've got to go through the process of like 2.5 hours of this thing. Man, that had to be a long night for the Florida Panthers. I'm sure now that there's a couple hours after the fact and either they're on their plane or they're back in their hotel right now. And I guarantee you the Panthers are getting as lit as the Vegas Golden Knights are right now. And it was a hell of a run. Right, if you're the Florida Panthers, like, I don't think they're in tears or anything like that. It was a hell of a run. They exceeded expectations, but it had to be a long night. And it was just one of those perfect nights for the Golden Knights and their fans in that it's a championship game. You didn't even have to sweat it out. I guess you could argue, oh, my God, they won in overtime. Can you believe it? But, nah, this is better. We knew like 10 minutes into this game that the cup was going to be awarded. The game was a rout. And then if you're a Vegas player, how fun was it to basically just be on the ice and know, well, I'm about to win the cup, so now I'm going to try to score a goal in a Stanley Cup game. And it just became, hey, let me pad my stats. Scoop Jackson steps up in the next. The OG, let's do this thing. Scoop Jackson, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and...
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
More. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. The NBA Finals are done. The parade is set for Thursday. Jokic just wants to go home. Let's bring in the OG, one of our favorite guests, Scoop Jackson, steps up and in. Scoop, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Man, anytime.
So you want to talk about dropping the mic. Jokic finishes the playoffs averaging 52.9 points per game, rebounds per game, and assists per game, the second most in NBA history, trailing only Wilt Chamberlain in 1967, who put up average 59.9 points, rebounds, and assists per game. Anytime that you do something that Wilt Chamberlain did, that's pretty good. But to average 52.9 throughout the playoffs, just an incredible run. One of the greatest playoff runs of all time, isn't it? What Jokic just did.
Yeah, I think so. And it's going to be interesting, like I said before, how he follows it up. You know, I think there have been playoff runs, there have been series runs where we've seen players literally take over series. Hell, we just saw Jimmy Butler take over series. You know, in a way that we're like, oh my goodness, if he could do this throughout the next couple of series, we're going to put Jimmy Butler in a whole nother category as far as conversations go. So to watch Jokic do this basically throughout all, 20 games they played is pretty amazing. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see him have to do this again because things change when the target's on your back. You know, and, you know, we also have to see if he's satisfied. You know, but for right now, in this moment, yeah, I'd have to say it was pretty special, man. Can't lie about that. It was pretty special.
He is one of the rare players that are just sort of so fun to watch. You know what I mean? There's a lot of players that are similar. They'll light it up. But to watch him, how he goes about it, like I said, he reminds me of a dude who just sort of shows up at the playground and then dominates. You know what I mean? Like, they should do a White Man Can't Jump 3. I know the second one, they did a second one, but he's that guy, just sort of shows up, and they're like, this guy's pretty big, but whatever, don't worry about him. And then he just dominates in every facet, shooting, in the paint, you know, just the, you know, how he can control the pace of a game. Just, you know, such a unique basketball player.
Yeah, to watch his mind work over the course of a game is amazing. And what he sees and what he feels comfortable doing. It's a very unique thing that we haven't actually seen, especially over here in America, in a singular package. We could put other attributes from other players together and make him that, but we haven't seen this in one package before. But
I saw Richard Jefferson, RJ, sorry, I just want to say, he had a great analogy. Basically, he said that Jokic is part Magic Johnson, part Tim Duncan, part Kevin Durant, part Giannis, and he basically put him together as this sort of super player that when you look at all of the skills that he has, his skill set, he really does a little bit of something of everything like that.
He's almost like he's manufactured, and he's taking little bits and pieces of a little bit of everybody's game. Very much like LeBron. If you build LeBron, it's like LeBron is not one specific player that you can directly identify with. It's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So he's a hybrid player, and one we've never seen before. The one thing I will say, though, and because it seems to be we're speaking of Jokic in these historical, you know, frames of conversations, is I still want to see, and I don't know if we're going to be able to see it because the way basketball is played, I'd love to really, really see him challenged on the defensive end, but I don't think we're ever going to see that. You know, lot of the conversation we're having with him just revolves around what he is able to do offensively. And we're not saying that he can't play defense. You know, we're just saying that he's playing in an era where he's never going to be challenged to have to play defense. You know, and it's hard to look at that and put everything we've just watched him do over the course of, you know, this playoff run. We watched him during the regular season, but, you know, we started judging greatness off of what people do in the playoffs. And we finally seen him with a healthy squad make this playoff run, one that we haven't seen before. And now that we're talking about him in historical context, it's hard to put him or really have this full conversation without seeing him being challenged on the defensive end. And that's what's going to be interesting to me. And my son and I were having a conversation, Gabe, about, okay, since we're probably not going to see that while Jokic is alive playing basketball, let's see who he's going to, from this point on, stop from getting rings. Because that's the real test on how we're going to judge him at the end of the day. Like, the list of players who, from this point on, did not get rings because of him. And that's what's going to be interesting to see.
Well, he just blocked Devin Booker. Right.
If you look at that, right. Yeah, now let's
take
it from there.
He just blocked Jimmy Butler.
Back there a couple of times. Right. Let's see what happens from there. Let's see what happens if Zion comes back and gets all this other drama out of his way, and, you know, the Pelicans or whatever team Zion ends up with in 5 years. If Zion never gets one because he can't get through Jokic. If, you know, Trae Young never gets one because he can't get through Jokic. If, you know, John Morant never gets one because he can't get through Jokic. You know, if Giannis only gets one. You know, if Jason Tatum never gets one, if we start going through the players like, damn, you know, at the end of the day, this guy stopped all of these current NBA greats from getting rings, then we'll be able to have some type of historical context, because that's the conversation we have with everybody. You know, we have it with Larry, Mike, you know, Shaq, you know, Kobe's like, yo, Tim Duncan, you know, we got a whole, Tim Duncan left a bunch of bodies. Never got rings because he stopped, you know.
So, damn right he did.
Yeah, but see, without Jokic having to go through, you know, having to really, really focus on defensively stopping somebody at his level, then that's what we're going to have to judge him on.
They've done a nice job building the pieces around him to sort of right? They can sort of, you know, smoke and mirror him defensively. And we see, I mean, as a betting man, Scoop, I've always been attacking you. Look, Bam Adebayo had a great offensive series, right? We saw AD dropped 40 on him, right? So there's no disputing that. And everybody, that's the big topic of conversation today. Can they repeat? Are they a dynasty and all that? You know, dynasty is a strong word, and you know as well as I do.
Gabe, I want to cut your question, but why do we have these conversations so early? Could you explain that to why are we as a society in such a rush to have these?
I think they feel like
conversations.
Yeah, they have nothing. I mean, like you said, Scoop, to me, hey, we haven't even had the damn parade yet, man. We haven't had the parade yet. And you know how it goes, too. Guys are going to want to get paid on this team now. But to me, you know, listen, man, Jamal Murray is 26. He's in his prime. He's coming off of injuries. He's got some good basketball ahead of him. You look at Michael Porter Jr. I mean, I think this kid could be a star. And, you know, if he was on a bad team, he'd be scoring, you know, 20, 25 points a game. And he'd be, you know.
We still got to see if he's ready for the moment, though, because the one thing we know for right now, he wasn't ready for the moment. Now, if he had a decent game last game, but if this continues, you know, because I remember it took Dirk Nowitzki a long time to get ready for that moment. So we got to see if Michael Porter Jr. is ready for that moment, because they may have to ask Aaron Gordon to go back to the Orlando Aaron Gordon to be the number three guy in order for them to continue this run.
Yeah, I was happy for Aaron Gordon. He's a good guy.
I was too.
Yeah, you know, that's the whole thing, too.
Gabe, let me here. I want to refer you back to the conversation we're having right now, but let's go back to last year. And you're in the area. Remember we were having these same conversations last year about the run Golden State's about to go on? Because Andrew Wiggins is still young, and Kaminga's still young, and Jordan Poole is still young.
And you can't predict the future. Draymond punches Jordan Poole in the face. Andrew Wiggins misses half the season. Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Like these epic conversation of what the current team is going to do over the next 10 years, because we were having the same conversation last year, and in 1 year, the whole thing changed. So why are we doing it again with the Nuggets?
Been five different champions in the last 5 years, too. NBA. And another thing is, man, the draft hasn't happened. We all know there's going to be roster changes and the league is going to reload. So I got a couple other things I want to throw at you. We're kicking it with the great Scoop Jackson right now. The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. It's a Twisted Tuesday. I am Gabriel Morenci, SiriusXM Channel 159. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, including the mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, the 50,000-watt juggernaut SoCal in the house, and so is the OG Scoop Jackson. We're talking about the Denver Nuggets and the NBA moving forward right now, and I totally agree with you, Scoop. It's way premature. I mean, we haven't even had the parade yet, and people are looking ahead to next year. I think the Denver Nuggets are going to be in the mix. I don't think they're a one-off, but, you know, they're like Milwaukee were, right? You know, Milwaukee are a good basketball team, and look at them. They haven't gotten back to the finals yet, and they have Giannis. It's not that easy to get back.
Man, that target is different, man. You ask any former player, that target is different. And the one concern I would have, and I don't want to be nitpicky, but the one concern I would have is watching Nikola last night, right? And just his subdued reaction to what he had just accomplished. And then listening to his comments afterwards where he literally just said, you know, basketball, this is great, but it's not the most important thing in my life right now. And I'm not trying to get like Mad Dog, you know, Russo or old school on you, but he may benefit from the fact that he can get away with having that type of attitude in this era of basketball, because if you think about it, the laissez-faire, you know, psychology that seems to run through a lot of the great players now affords him to get away for doing what he just did and do it on a regular basis and not having basketball the primary focus of his life. I remember David Robinson.
I think it's more of a positive. I think it's more of a positive than a negative.
But it's, to me, all about who you have to go up against. You know, like, you couldn't have that attitude going up against a Larry Bird. You couldn't have that attitude going up against an Isaiah Thomas. You couldn't have that attitude going up against Hakeem Olajuwon.
No, you're right.
You couldn't have that attitude going up against Mike. Because basketball was everything to them.
And the modern player is different, though, isn't it, Scoop? You look at Giannis. Remember Giannis was asked after, is this season a disappointment? Yeah. Which it clearly was. Let's be real.
Right.
How the hell could it not have been? You just got bounced by an 8 seed in the first round, and he got all philosophical about life and about the journey of life and stuff.
And that's fine. But
the modern player thinks differently, it seems. Yeah.
It is. He's going to. But my thing is that he may benefit from that. But I'm saying that all to say, let's see. Let's see what happens when he comes back and has accomplished something, and then try to follow that up with that target on the back. Because all we have is history on the side to make these assessments, correct? Those that do repeat, those that are repeat offenders in winning championships, basketball has to mean everything to you in order to do this. You know, his own countryman, Novak Djokovic, after he won the 23rd championship at the French Open, they asked him, like, you knew coming in what you were up against. How did you get there? And the first thing that came out of his mouth was Kobe Bryant, Mamba mentality. And we don't have an era of players where they're taking on that Mamba mentality where they're obsessed with the game of basketball. And I'm concerned about Jokic going into next year, years going, if his lack of Mamba mentality and lack of obsession with basketball is going to allow him to continue to do this on a regular basis. If that makes any sense, or is it fair to even say?
No, I think it's a fair question. And it, you know, only time will be able to tell how it plays out. I just think he's so good, and the fact that it's not life and death to him. And I think there's something to it. If we look, I brought up Giannis. I mean, Giannis grew up, selling watches and CDs, right? And on the street, in a market, right? In a square. You look at Jokic talking about growing up in bomb shelters. And I think there's
a
different perspective for these guys in the big picture that I think that can help them. But at the same point in time, like, I'm not going to dispute, how can Giannis, you know, sit there and say, well, the season wasn't a failure and it's not a disappointment. But what do you make of this right now? You look we have Giannis, who won the title a couple of years ago, dominant player. Joel Embiid was voted the MVP this year. Jokic is the talk of the town right now. And, you know, the guy on the top of the hill.
Luka in the conversation. Got to throw
Luka. And, by the way, Victor Wembanyama is about to take not just the league over, but the world over on a global stage. There's something to it. The biggest names in the game right now, Scoop, are not American. That's international. And Jamal Murray's Canadian even.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I was about to say, Jamal, you have a championship that's built around two players that neither one is from America. But, you know, to be honest with you, this has been coming for a long time. We started having these conversations, and we should have seen this coming. Blame the Dream Team. You know, their introduction, introducing the world to basketball, you know, it took 20-something years for this to happen, but here it is. And it's happening in a big way, which, once again, becomes interesting through the conversation we're having, because I still believe that in order to get here, as we're talking about Giannis saying that this is not the most important thing in his life, his counterpart, it is. Jamal Murray's entire life revolves around his game. And that may be the thing that affords Jokic to have this attitude and still be successful, because somebody's going to cover his behind. And it's very similar to what David Robinson and Tim Duncan. Like, David Robinson was like, basketball's not my entire life. But Tim Duncan, like, hell, this is all, you know, I could have been in Olympic swimming.
You know, Scoop,
everything I got,
I'm going to use a hockey analogy, and it's strange. Sidney Crosby and Malkin. So, you know, they've been a great combo for years. They've won a lot. Malkin drinks, parties, smokes. Like, literally. Like, you know what I mean? Eats like Burger King, McDonald's, like whatever. He just lives his life. Sidney Crosby's like a workout, like warrior machine.
Exactly.
Doesn't drink, lives the cleanest life ever. Yet, they've had the same amount of success together. And sometimes, I guess, it's good to have that balance, I guess.
It is. It is. And let's hope that they do stay together, you know, and hope they have a coach that, you know, let's give Michael Malone some credit, a coach that understands his players to the degree and affords them the luxury of benefiting from one being too obsessed and the other probably not being obsessed enough. You know, he finds that middle ground that gets him through the 82. You know, so maybe it's like, hey, Nikola, we understand basketball is not everything to you, but for 6 months it has to be. You know what I'm saying? For 6 months, we need you locked in, and he's able to get him locked in. So where Jokic can make the comment, like, hey, you know, basketball is not the most important thing to me. But coach makes sure that for the 6 months or for, you know, for at least half of every year, it is the most important. And I don't forget that. He reminds me of that. And the same thing may happen on the other end, you know, with Jamal Murray, where he's like, hey, take some time off, man. Let this game go. You know, you need to let this game – you need to step away from this game. You need to, like, find some other things to be a part of your life. In order for you to be great, you can't be totally obsessed with this because we need the best of you. And it's just, so Michael Malone could be the person that makes it work on both ends, and, you know, all three of them are just as necessary. You know, each one is just necessary to the other in order for them to go on this journey and continue what we just saw last night, like I said, for the next 10 years.
Scoop, we just got a couple of minutes left. So I talked about Wembanyama. After that, it seems like all bets are off. Nobody's really sure who the second pick in the draft is going to be. I would go with Scoot Henderson. I don't buy into the stuff that he can't play with Ball. I think that's stupid.
Right.
You know, Miller's a good player. I think Henderson is better. I think he's just a pure scorer, and he doesn't bring the baggage along with him that Miller brings. But that's, you know, that's another story. That's another conversation right there.
But what as far as positioning on the floor? I mean, is that important to you? Because in Miller, you got a 6'9 guy that can also take pressure off of, you know, Miller from bringing the ball and still score. Does that, the balance on the floor, that doesn't make it?
I get it. But
talk about Denver, and the one thing Denver's done is they balance their team perfectly. Everybody has a role position-wise, and all voids are filled with that. So I say that to say you don't think Brandon Miller would fill a void that they don't have,
Go ahead. I get it. But one thing, Charlotte are hard to predict what they're going to do, right? And what the hell they're ever thinking. I get that. But to me, I don't have a problem with having good players on the floor together. And I'm not just going to draft, like, I'm more of a best talent guy than a position draft guy to me.
Okay.
Plus, I do have my apprehensions about Brandon. I do, just point blank.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not just going to look the other way from everything that happened. Like, oh, no, that's cool. Like, you know what I mean? It's, you know, somebody got shot, bro. And I'm not sure he handled it in the best way after. And if he acted like that when he didn't have any money, I'm not ready to give this kid all this money right now. I'm just stating, I've never met the guy. So I'm not trying to ruin the kid's life. Or, you know what I mean? But I'm not in control.
You wouldn't put that type of investment.
I'm just saying me. Yeah, right. I'm not saying if I got a kid in Scoot Henderson who I see is a pure born scorer here and hasn't had any of the issues, I liked him a lot better and maybe even someone else, like I said. But I'm not saying, you know, the kid shouldn't be in the league or anything like that. I'm just saying me personally. But listen, we only got like 30 seconds here. Is Dame really going to move? Is there going to be some blockbuster move? Like, what's the crazy, like, off-season thing that's going to happen in the league?
Oh, that's a really, really good question. I don't think – I'll answer your question with this. I don't think in this moment he's going to move, but this will be – I don't think he's going to move before the season starts. I think out of love for Chauncey, he'll probably stay.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Despiértate, que el $4 breakfast meal deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un sausage McMuffin o sausage biscuit, hash brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Think about your mentors and idols, the people who inspire you most. While it may look like they have all the answers, they don't. But they do know when to ask questions and seek the support they need. In a world that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better with a support system. Therapy is a great way to find a consistent source of support in your life, so you can break free from the outdated belief that seeking help is a sign of weakness. BetterHelp has experienced therapists ready to help you with challenges, ranging from anxiety and depression to relationships and stress. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And you deserve that. You can even send your therapist a message anytime something comes up. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
Another chance to ride, especially with the changes going on in the front office. He'll give it a chance. But if it doesn't start off right, he'll be gone by trading deadline, guaranteed.
Scoop Jackson, man, we could talk for hours. It's always a pleasure. We always love having you on, Scoop. Thanks a lot for the time, my man.
Anytime, man. We'll talk soon.
There's Scoop Jackson with us. The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wagering wisdom in every bite. This is the SportsGrid Radio Network.
Hoping you and your friends could tell me something about baseball strategy.
The only thing I know about strategy is that whatever the manager does, it's wrong. Unless it works, in which case he's a button pusher.
It's Sports Talk Radio. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. Always great with Scoop Jackson kicking it old school. So we've concluded the NBA season. We've concluded the NHL season, except there really is no off season with any of these sports anymore. A lot of stuff to get to as far as the NBA is concerned. The NBA draft is rapidly approaching right now, and the discussion continues. There is a debate. As far as who the second pick of the draft is going to be. And I understand the arguments. People don't think that Charlotte will take Scoot Henderson because they don't think, they think that him and Ball are the same player. Yet I don't really see it that way. I think that you have an opportunity to put two explosive young players together and you can never have too much talent. I'm not a fan of drafting by position. A good example of that is, like, look at Rui Hachimura. Rui Hachimura is not on the Washington Wizards right now because they said, well, we couldn't find him minutes. Well, he's a very good player, and you're not a very good team. So, right, there's a lot of, like, miss, you know, you're not going to take a guy because you already have a couple of other guys on a team that is terrible. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I get it if you're a championship-caliber team, and you could say, well, we already have this guy, and we're going to disrupt this or that, but... You know, if you're a terrible team, I think you can stockpile as much as talent as you possibly can. FanDuel right now, the second overall pick, Brandon Miller is minus 250. Scoot Henderson is plus 160. The odds makers and most of the mock drafts and a lot of the stories that are being published right now have Miller being the second pick. The thing is, Charlotte are kind of an unpredictable franchise to begin with. They don't often make the right move, so they're a hard team to predict what they're going to do. And I want to bring something up, actually, as we asked Scoop Jackson if he thinks there's going to be some crazy stuff in the offseason here. I don't know about crazy and bombshell type of things, like blockbusters, but the NBA is a pretty active league, all right? And players change their minds quickly in this league. They're happy, then they're not happy, right? They're you know, I'm expecting there to be a couple of pretty big moves. And there's a lot of talk about with the draft right now, and it wouldn't be shocking if Charlotte ended up trading the pick. And to throw it out there right now, there's reports that the New Orleans Pelicans are seeing what it would take to move up to get the second pick of the draft. If you were the Pelicans and or if you were the Hornets, I actually think you have a deal that could make some sense here in that the Pelicans, you finally move on from Zion Williamson. And it's not because of the PR stuff. It's not because of his personal life. But at the same point in time, it's because he doesn't play enough. And you've kind of seen his dedication. He's not rehabbing, right? He's having fun. And you'd figure that a guy that has missed as much basketball as he has would be, like, desperate to get back on the court. Now, I'm sure he wants to play, and he's a damn good player when he's on the court. But his level of dedication to stay on the court and get back on the court can clearly be questioned. Like, say what you will about Mariah Mills, but what she said wasn't wrong, a lot of what she talked about. Like, if you can't have sex standing up, you can't play in the NBA, right? I'm just standing, like, if I'm the Pelicans, I'm reading, and I'm more from a basketball standpoint thinking, you know what, she raises a lot of good points here. As far as being out of shape, not passing physicals, and, you know, and going on and not being ready to play. With all that being stated, he's super talented. And if you were Charlotte, is Michael Jordan, I know there's talk of Michael Jordan selling the team, but would you say, you know what, maybe he needs a fresh start and we'll take Zion instead of the second pick? The thought is, though, that they would trade Ingram. Now, I don't know what Zion's market is, to be honest. He makes a lot of money, and he's always hurt. But the Toronto Raptors have been reportedly, and you never really know what the Raptors are up to either. But I'm pretty good at sort of knowing what's real and what isn't with them. And I think we just seen, look, the Raptors just brought in a new coach. The new coach is a specialist with working with young players. Masai Ujiri hates being in the middle. Fred VanVleet just declined his option. I don't think they already offered him a deal, and I don't think they're in a hurry to offer him another one right now. So VanVleet's gone. Gary Trent's going to be gone. And I'm starting to think that Siakam could be the one actually now. There's not enough room for everybody. Just from a basketball standpoint, they have too many of the same players. I think Masai Ujiri wants to build around Scottie Barnes. I don't know if that's the right move. But there are a lot of teams that are interested in Siakam. The Raptors are going to have to pay him soon, like after this year type of thing. So I think they're starting to think longer term about a little rebuild. All right, we've got OG for cheaper. We like OG a lot. Masai Ujiri loves OG. Everybody always wants to trade for OG, but OG, you know, they love OG. They also love Scottie Barnes. I don't know if they love Pascal Siakam as much. Siakam makes quite a bit of money in their eyes, and I don't know if they think, like I said, I know Nick Nurse wasn't a big fan, so I don't know what the new coach does. And I found it interesting that today the new coach of the Raptors said that he loves the roster and he looks forward to working with it. To me, when I heard that, I'm like, oh, boy, yeah, this roster's getting busted up. Like, they told DeMar DeRozan they weren't trading him, and then 3 days later they did, right? So I swear, as soon as I heard him say, I love the roster, I can't wait to work with this roster, I thought, yeah, that's sort of like, that's not true, because I don't think the roster's going to be the same. So it should be an interesting couple of weeks in the NBA. I do agree with Scoop. I don't think Dame Lillard's getting traded next week or anything like that at the draft, but you know, the wheels are starting to move. Like, the wheels are in motion here on this with Dame Lillard, and I think Portland could be a team that could be doing some things. And like I said, I would expect there to be a lot of movement and activity in the next couple of weeks in the NBA. Teams aren't going to stand pat. It's a volatile league. The draft is coming up soon. What is it? It's like next week. Victor Wembanyama is a massive favorite, obviously, to be taken first. So the debate really is who's going to be taken second, who's going to be taken third. Scoot Henderson right now is -195 to be taken third. Brandon Miller is +170 to be taken third. And speaking of Wembanyama, his team is down 2-0. So sports are never really done. You think hockey's done? Well, not really. The AHL, which is the National Hockey League minor league, continues. They're into their finals right now, so there is technically hockey to bet on. And basketball is a lot like soccer. It's a lot like happy hour. It's always happy hour somewhere. There's always a basketball game going on somewhere. Although we have to wait till Thursday afternoon. Wembanyama, his team is down 2-0 in the French League finals right now. Now, I know some people, and I've already seen it, some people are kind of, well, look, if he can't win the French League, how is he going to take over the NBA? Well, he is 19. Number one. And he's not on, like, some dominant team. He actually, like, carried the team. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he actually did win the championship last year. And he went to a new team this year. So there's not, you know what I mean? It is what it is. To be honest, we checked, like, we've been following it, and game one, he struggled. Game two, he went off. He had, like, 19-8-4 type of thing in game two. Game two was a lot closer than game one. But his team, like, Monaco, the team that they're playing, Monaco, they were, like, 5-1 favorites to win the series. They were, like, -480, like, -490 type thing. So they were up against it, even though they have Wembanyama on their team. They're getting 3.5 points now back on their home court. There's no player props posted yet, but they're all pretty much the same all the time. And to be honest, he goes under because they don't want to set low numbers for him. But he's, you know what I mean? It's the finals. And the Monaco team are actually the best team in the French league. And they're not playing around, man. They're all over Wembanyama. So he's getting to like 19 and stuff, but his player prop is always like 24.5. Now he's getting back home. We'll see. I look forward to breaking it down tomorrow. I want to get to the Oakland Athletics situation. It's a sad day. It's a big day for Las Vegas. They win the Stanley Cup, and they vote to get a Major League Baseball team at the same time. Even though the sleazeball owner of the Oakland Athletics gave them absolutely nothing and no reason to vote for it, they had every reason to say to the Oakland Athletics owner, Fisher, you know what? You know, maybe you can move here, but we're not bending over backwards and paying anything for you, right? But Vegas has that advantage. They don't pay for anything. They just pass everything on to anybody that visits there, right, with the resort fee. Right, remember the old days? You know, you go to Vegas in the hotel room, and they'd be like, all right, the resort fee. You'd be like, resort fee? And they'd be like, yeah, resort fees, like, you know, $6 a day or $9 a day. But you get free internet with it. And, you know, it's sort of this token thing. Now you'll notice in Vegas, it's like, yeah, the hotel room's like $189 a night. And that's, you know, for the whatever room. And then the hotel fee is like, you know, resort fee is like $72 or something. And you're like, what's this resort fee? You know, the resort fee is insane. That's how they paid for their stadium, for the Raiders, right? That's how they paid to bring the Raiders there. That's now they just flip the cost onto the tourist. It's a pretty good thing they have going on. They have a massive advantage against other cities right now doing this. The only other city that can do this now, and they're going to start doing it as they figured it out, is Orlando. Orlando will be the next one. That'll be like the family Vegas type of thing. Right, look for Orlando to take the Tampa Bay Rays away in 2028. They're already building a nice stadium. If not, you know, get their own team. Orlando wants to get an NFL team. And they've realized the same thing. They have, you know, Orlando is solely a tourist city, so they don't even have to pay for it, the locals. They'll just flip a resort fee on Disney and all the other resorts there. And that'll pay for everything. Like, other cities are really up against it, competing with that. That's what Oakland has to deal with. Not to mention, Oakland has a lot of problems on its own, never mind baseball. It's sad. I know, listen, it was a special night tonight in Oakland, and it was the reverse boycott and stuff. But like I tweeted, I hate to be a jerk, but getting 27,000 people in a stadium that holds 55,000 people isn't some big statement, man. And I know that that's what it's come to. It is what it is. Vegas just has more money.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The owner of Joe Lacob, the owner of the Golden State Warriors. Is it Joe? Whatever. Lacob. He said he would buy the A's, but they didn't want to sell it to him. Well, you know, tell Major League Baseball you want to put a team in Oakland. I'm sure they won't stop you. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Class, this is Portridge. Well, another night of the Ultimate Fighter, Matias, and it looks like another fighter in a blue jersey that's messed up, like in an ambulance. It's got like his face is all smashed open. As the Ultimate Fighter show continues, Team Chandler, our band's a little out of control there. Team Chandler is rolling right now in this Ultimate Fighter show. It was on earlier tonight against the hockey and the Stanley Cup Finals, but there's a replay on right now. Obviously, I've got the sound down, but I see the result. Chandler and the Vets win again. The Vets are rolling in the Ultimate Fighter right now. It's been an entertaining show, right? You would expect it to be an entertaining show. Like I said, I'll watch it again. I've seen it tonight. But with the sound down for the last, you know, I've had it on for the last hour, basically. But with the sound down, I'll rewatch it with the sound a little bit later on. It's been an entertaining season. I look forward to seeing, you know, as Chandler and McGregor start to get into it a little bit more as we go on. Like I said, in the promo I was watching, I saw, like, Connor start pushing Chandler around and stuff. And I thought that was going to be tonight, but I didn't see that tonight. Yet it has been an entertaining show. Connor's cool. He gave a kid $1,000 on the show for a kid. He makes design like UFC action figures. You know, special decals, paint jobs. He had Conor McGregor's tattoos done and stuff like that. Connor busted out a dime to the kid. The kid was pretty happy to get $1,000 for his work. And he'll probably have a career in the future. Man, I remember when that business started, man. The action figure stuff. It was big. We used to have them all. I still have a few of them. Like, I've got a few of them in a box somewhere, like, unopened. BJ Penn, George St. Pierre, Chuck Liddell, that era. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Portridge.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.